Now I invite Pastor Richard Holdeman to bring a charge to Pastor Niece.
Good evening. I bring you greetings from the saints in Bloomington, Adam's home church in the denomination. Poor Mr. Bibby. He couldn't remember that it was Indiana University, the college in Indiana that he came to. We haven't forgotten where he came from, Mr. Bibby. And just so you realize that we consider it the highest compliment that you can give us, that you would want a man that is trained in our congregation. So we're excited for Adam and for his family and for your congregation. Adam, I want to thank you for inviting me to be a part of this service. I'm honored. To say that I'm happy to be here would probably be stretching it. You know that I wish you were still in Bloomington, but I've learned over the years that the Lord always has much better plans than I do, and I trust him, and I know he's going to use you like he used you in Bloomington. I want to thank you because you are not only a good colleague, you are a son in the faith, and you are also a good friend, and I think even more than that, and I made a point of saying this, you know, when you were leaving Bloomington, you are my pastor for the last 5 years, and that's not insignificant, especially with some of the things our family was going through, and I can't thank you enough for your ministry to me and my family during that time, and to the congregation. You were able to do things that I wasn't able to do during that time. And so I'm just very grateful, and I know that the Lord will bless what you do here. Well, you and I have spent so much time talking, there's really nothing new I could tell you at this point. So, you know, when all else fails, I turn to the book of Revelation. So I'm going to read just one verse tonight from Revelation 12, verse 17. And it goes like this. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a picture book. It's a picture book given to the church to encourage Christians living in the time between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. And it uses symbols largely drawn from the Old Testament to picture in powerful and graphic ways the truths of God. Now, parts of the book are more challenging to understand than others. And in chapter 12 here, we have what's actually one of the clearer passages, and it's slightly more clear because the chapter tells us what some of the symbols mean. And so there are two great images in this chapter. There is a glorious celestial woman who is representative of the church, and there is a hideous, powerful dragon, which is representative of Satan. And so as we look at this verse briefly, I want to remind you that you need to remember you are joining a congregation that is in battle. You're going to war here. And as a pastor serving in war, you need to lead them as one who truly knows and understands the outcome of this war. So, simple point. Your congregation's in war. Lead like you know it. So the first thing I want you to see is simply that the congregation is in a war. If you were to go back in the early part of the chapter, you see this dragon is described as great and fiery and having 7 heads and 10 horns. I think it's probably 10 horns per head with a crown on each head. And this imagery is meant to picture power and might and cunning. And of course, we're told in the verse that I read that the dragon is highly motivated. The dragon has tried to destroy the church before it ever begins. And because the dragon fails, as it says here, he's enraged with the woman and goes to make war with the rest of her offspring. This is the devil's job 24/7 to make war against the saints, and this is what you are signing up for when you took the vows that you just took a few minutes ago. Now, I went to a military school when I was in high school. And I can tell you, it's one thing to put on your dress uniform and march around on the parade ground. And it's a completely different thing to go into battle. And you're not here to be a parade soldier. You're here to go into battle. And you have to understand in doing that, that sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable. I mean, I'm quite sure this is where your family is right now. Everything's new. Everything's changed. And there's a lot of challenges right now. But it helps to realize I'm in war. And this is not really where we get comfortable when we're on the battlefield. We have to understand. That gives you some perspective. And I don't think I need to tell your congregation that they're in a war. Because over the last several years, this congregation has experienced a number of very difficult challenges, including the loss of an elder's wife and the loss of a beloved senior pastor, and the challenges of planting a second church and what that does for the dynamics of your church. And now with Keith's decision to leave, the loss of a second pastor. And it's in times like this, you know, there can be kind of a gloom that descends on a congregation that just feels like it's been buffeted again and again. And you need to be sensitive of that as you come into this charge, that these are war-weary, battle-worn troops that you're leading, in a sense, here in this battle. So understand that your congregation is at war. And then secondly, I'd like you then to remember to lead the congregation as if you know this truth, and you also know the outcome. Sometimes children are a lot better at interpreting the book of Revelation than adults, PhDs and others who work hard to tell us what it means. A kid can look at it and see, oh, there's a big battle. And look at this, Jesus wins. And it's really about that simple in some ways. This is what the book is about. That's the basic message. And there's one more image that I didn't mention in chapter 12. And that is the image of a male child who is born to the woman. And of course, we know that's a picture of Jesus Christ. And the text actually tells us that the dragon attempts to destroy the Lord as he's born. But it tells us in verse 5 of this chapter that her child was caught up to God and his throne. And there you have the only thing that really matters, that Jesus lived, he died, he rose again victorious, and that's where he reigns. And so because of that, the devil is a defeated enemy. And because Jesus did that, he can lead his church. And you can lead his church knowing that whatever Satan throws at you in this congregation, Christ is greater and more powerful and will win the ultimate victory. And so how might you lead as one who's leading, knowing the outcome? Well, it's interesting. Verse 17 gives a wonderful description of the church. Those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So one thing is to lead them to be those people. That's what the church is. Those who live according to God's commandments and keep the testimony of Jesus. They don't live in their own strength. They live as those testifying to Jesus Christ. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is to lead with optimism and with hope. Act like you really believe what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be very important for you in this setting. Point the people to Christ. Lead with hope and with optimism, and let that flavor your preaching and your counseling and your ministry. And then lead, trusting only in the grace of Christ, who makes the dragon a defeated foe and makes the woman a beautiful bride. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. A number of years ago, I read a story about a man named Rick Rescorla. And you probably haven't heard his name. I find very few people have. But this man was a soldier, a British soldier, actually, who joined the U.S. Army so that he could fight in Vietnam. He wanted to fight in Vietnam. And after retiring from the military as a decorated veteran, he went to work for Merrill Lynch. At that time, Merrill Lynch had 22 floors in the World Trade Center. They were the largest occupant of the World Trade Center. And he was in charge of their security. And he actually predicted before it happened, the 1993 bombing, where they drove explosives into the garage at the bottom and tried to blow it up. And he pleaded with the company to move their offices, and they refused to do it. So what he did was he organized and had an escape route for all those employees on those 22 floors. And he made them practice every few months unannounced drills. He was driving the investment bankers crazy because he interrupted their work to get them all out of the building. And on 9/11/2001, when the first plane hit the North Tower, he was sitting in his office on the 44th floor of the South Tower, and he could see what had happened. And the PA, the Port Authority, came on the over the intercom and said, "Everyone stay in your places." He got up with his bullhorn, and he said, "Let's go, people. You know the drill." And he, by encouraging them and singing battle songs to them, which is exactly what he had done in war. There's a movie made about it. Fascinating. Sang to them and got over 2,600 employees safely out of the building. And the last time he was seen was on the 10th floor going back up just to see if there was anybody else left. And nobody ever saw him again because the building collapsed. That's leading as if you know you're in a battle. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ leads his church. He gives up himself for the good of his people. And he does what this man could never do. He delivers them to the eternal objective. And you are not here to be their savior. You're here to lead them with your other elders. But to know that this church, like all the other churches in our presbytery, are under attack. And so there's going to be some discomfort. There's going to be some struggles. But you're in a battle that the Lord Jesus has already won. So there's nothing to fear, and there's every reason to be hopeful and encouraging as you take that on. So Adam, as you come here, be the man of God that the Lord has prepared you to be. Don't try to be anybody else. Just be yourself. And remember you're in a battle, and lead your people like you know who wins the battle. And may God be pleased to bless your ministry here. Amen.